Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. This is the 15th and the final message in the series called Love and Purpose. Just thinking about what Dennis said about faith. I got my bank account full of the substance that I need to go make a withdrawal. And you know, he challenged me twice. And y'all, those of you that know me well, I don't do well with challenges because I'm a very aggressive and competitive person. And he challenged me on two different things. He said that he's going to race me on paying off people's mortgages. Challenge accepted. And he also challenged us on some other areas. So, I hope you're paying attention because I ain't going to let Dennis beat me at nothing. Amen. Amen. That's right. Be competitive in the spirit. That's right. I double dog dare anybody in this room to race me to super abundance. Double dog dare you. Any of you that are old enough to know what a double dog dare is? Uh-huh. That's right. A double dog dare, you'll jump off a bridge into a creek. Because I've done it. Had to pull the leeches off my legs and toes and stuff. Never mind. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, before this gets awkward. For we know, who knows this? Do this for me, because I want to make sure, after 15 messages, I just need some confirmation in some people's hearts. So, who knows that all things God is working together for your good, because you love Him and you're called according to His purpose? All right. Looks like I'm getting pretty good here. One of these days I'll graduate into a professional pastor and people will be like, "Got it, first time, pastor." Amen. Jesus used to say, "And I say unto you again. And again I say unto you." So if Jesus had to repeat it, then I guess I'm in good company. Amen. So the qualifications, not that I super enjoy that word, but it's a reality. The qualifications for God easily working things together for your good is you in a constant and consistent state of loving Him, and you being in the calling of your purpose. Now, real quick, loving Him isn't "I once loved Him," and it's not "at some point in the future I'm going to love Him." Both of those are a lie. You can't have once loved somebody. Not with God's kind of love. God's kind of love is eternal. Now abides these three: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is? Right. Now abides. That word abiding is in the perfect present tense in the Greek. It means that it is now abiding. It's living right now. And the greatest of these is love. Love is not temporal. You can't have once loved somebody. I fell in love with someone, and then I fell out of love with someone. Love is not something you fall off of. It's not a log. Love is something that is the nature and the character of God. So this is an active, present condition of your life and your heart. Loving Him. Amen. I have to stay focused because I really want to accomplish some things today. But man, do I want to go rabbit hunting right now. And in the calling of your purpose, And this, I'm going to talk about destiny today. It's one of my favorite subjects, those of you that know me really well. Destiny. Sorry. Being in the calling of your purpose. That doesn't mean that you once had an encounter with the purposes of God, that you once knew that there was something that you really wanted to do with your life, but now you're old. Amen. If you're, I can show you people in the scriptures that were hundreds of years old that finally got into their purpose. So whatever age you are, unless you're over, Noah was 600. So if you're over 600, raise your hand. Unless you're over 600, you are not too old for your purpose. You see a 600-year-old guy out there building a boat in the middle of a desert in a place where it had never rained. Yeah. You know, they're probably thinking, kooky old man. It's okay for you to be a kooky old man, kooky old woman, doing what God called you to do. It's like it's... Amen. Is that all right? It's like it's floppy. Maybe I need to go to the ear thing. All right. Is it distracting anybody? Because I can reach through it. Anybody? All right, keep going. Got it. All right. So being called in the calling of your purpose. If you don't know what the calling of your purpose is, you are going to live a life that I commonly refer to as spiritual constipation. For those of you that's ever had the natural form of that, the spiritual form of that hurts as much. You know you're supposed to be doing something. You know that you're supposed to be accomplishing something. You know that something on the inside of you is supposed to be getting out, but it just ain't happening. Spiritual constipation. That is a person who knows that there is such a thing as a destiny. There is such a thing as a purpose. But you're not operating in it. And that is not what we're called to do. We're not called to know that something exists and not obtain it. We're supposed to be obtaining the great and precious promises by knowing Him. That's what it says in 2 Peter chapter 1. That all of these great and precious promises come through knowing Him. If you don't know what your calling and your purpose is, then all I'll say is you haven't spent a lot of time knowing Him and asking Him. Complaining to people in your life, looking at other people and feeling, woe was me because they did it and you didn't, that's not going to get you to your purpose. Getting to your purpose is going to be spending some time with the Lord. And you're going to have it activated in your life. Now, real quick, I want to say, you know, the Apostle Paul, who was once Saul, didn't just have a road to Damascus experience with the Lord, and then, bam, apostle. You know, it sounds like that in the Scriptures, because you read it, and this happens in this chapter, and then the next chapter, it's this. It's like, oh, man, look at Paul. Microwave. No, it wasn't. He spent 3 years in the deserts in Galatia. He spent another 10 years learning from the disciples. He spent about 13 years kind of prepping for a ministry that only lasted 30 years, and 13 of it was kind of prep time, which means, and if you take into consideration the fact that he was in prison for approximately 7 years, so preparation for 13, prison for 7 out of a 30-year ministry, basically two-thirds of the time, he wasn't doing anything. Now, obviously, he was doing a lot. Don't get me wrong. In prison, he was still changing the world because he was sending all the letters that you and I read. And so he was still accomplishing a lot. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying that if you were going to look at his life and you say, okay, based upon him preaching and planting churches, roaming the countryside, being a good little apostle, it was only 10 years out of the 30. Amen. This is dire important that we understand the reason that Paul was separated unto the gospel wasn't because there was a calling on his life. It's because he answered the calling on his life. Now, obviously, Jesus interrupted what he thought the calling was. Anybody ever have Jesus interrupt their life? Amen. Isn't that a good day? Amen. Amen. Some of us were hell bound and going to hell. And Jesus interrupted that. Praise Jesus. Amen. Pretty much all of us. Anybody? All right. Anybody born again? No. So what happened in the Gospels was it says that the apostles were together, the fellowship was together, and they were praying and fasting. And just so you understand, like, fasting isn't like, you know, they skip midday snack. You know, and folks are fasting in the Bible, they're fasting. You know, when we fast, we're like, okay, I'm not going to eat sweets. And look, if that's, I don't want anybody to get condemned, like, well, that's why I want to, okay, that's fine. But I'm saying, in the Bible, it wasn't like they were skipping chocolate cake. They were fasting, for real. Oftentimes, food and water. And it says that they were fasting, and the Spirit said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I've called them to. The Spirit said. That's the calling that we have that is supposed to be activated for us. Separate unto me Mike and Dixie from the Spirit. It's not Pastor Steve saying, hey, you know, I think you guys would be great at being greeters at Beloved Church. That's just doing things for the body. That's not calling and purpose. What we're talking about is destiny. You were created for a divine purpose that is going to require supernatural power. If the life you're living right now, you can do it in your own strength, you are probably not in your destiny. Amen. And I know some people hear that and they're just like, what? Come on. But if you can do it in your natural strength, then obviously there's no super to your natural, and so it's not a divine destiny. You're just operating in life. If you can wake up tomorrow, the Holy Spirit would quietly slip away from you. Not that He can, okay? Get my theology right. He can't leave you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. But if tomorrow morning you woke up and the Holy Spirit was gone and it changed your day zero, kind of quiet in this beloved church. A destiny means that there's divinity involved with it. It means you are functioning in the calling and the purpose that you were created for. And that doesn't just accidentally happen. You don't stumble across destiny. You're not walking down the street and the destiny train runs you over. Oh, okay, I'm in my destiny. It doesn't work that way. Those who seek, find. Those that knock, the door is open unto them. If you're not seeking, you're not knocking, you don't find, and there's no open doors. Jesus is not the one stopping you from going into doors. In fact, if you read in Revelation, He's the one that's knocking on the other side of the door. Hey, here's the door. Do anybody hear any knocking? Yeah, I've been hearing it for years. Amen? Acts chapter 20, please. Acts chapter 20. We're going to start in verse 17. Acts 20, 17, and from Miletus this is talking about Paul. He, Paul, sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. What we call this today is a minister's conference. The apostle came in and said, hey, I need all the leaders in the church at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus was approximately, they believed, between 50 and 100,000 people that met in homes, 10, 20 people in a home. And so you're talking about however many churches that is, 100 churches. And so you're talking about 100 pastors. You're talking about Timothy as a bishop. So he basically had a minister's conference. He brought all these folks in, and he knows that he's on his third and last missionary journey. And so he is going through, and he is going to go back and reaffirm all the leadership. And so he goes into Ephesus and calls all the elders in verse 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. I really don't want to preach my way through because I want to get somewhere, but let me say this real quick. You should see the ministry, the calling, and the purpose of a person's life in action in their life. Not necessarily just saying, here's what I'm called to do. Anybody ever heard talk is cheap? Talk's pretty cheap. Let me see it. Hey, pastor, I love you. I'm with you till the very end. Just let me say this. If you're visiting today, I know we have some. If you're visiting today and what happens here at Beloved Church really, really, really ministers to you and wrecks your heart, and you're just like, man, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, I totally get you because I think that every time I'm up here. But don't come up to me and be like, pastor, I'm with you till the very end. Me and you, kid, we're going to take the hill. Just don't do that to me, because literally everybody that does that to me, I turn around 6 months later and they're like, man, there's this other awesome church over. Talk is cheap. You know how I know who's with me? Butts in the chairs. Butts in the chairs. That's why we don't have membership at Beloved Church. Because you're not going to get to sign a paper and say, see? Amen. You put your butt right there. You put your faith with my faith. You put your action with our action. You put your vision with our vision. And then we have cooperative vision. And we call that unity. Common unity. Community. Common unity. That's membership at Beloved Church. Butt in a chair, believing what we're believing, headed for what we're headed for, and everybody has having the diversity of what you were created to have. Amen? Amen. Talk is cheap. Action is awesome. He said, I lived this in front of you. You could watch the Apostle Paul's life. I think I'm a little hot. You could watch the Apostle Paul's life, and without him saying a word, you could see what his life was about. Andrew Womack says this, and I love it. So I'm just going to, this will be the last time I give him credit for it. If you are arrested for being a Christian, and there's not enough evidence to convict you, then I can assure you that probably the life that you're living needs a little fine-tuning. Is that sinking in? Okay, I'll just move on. Verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Man, I could spend hours on this verse. Let me just say a couple things. There were people that thought that they were living in their purpose called the Jews, that were literally sacrificing their time, their effort, their energy, and their money to lie in wait to get in Paul's way and thinking that they were doing the will of God. Y'all follow me on this? You know when Paul was helping stone Stephen? He was absolutely convinced that he was doing the right and godly thing. Just because you're passionate about something, and even just because you think that you're convicted about something, doesn't necessarily mean it's a God something. Amen. This is the hardest thing that I can ever talk to someone about. Because oftentimes people will come to me and they'll want counsel for something going on in their life. And I have to pull way, 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 way back because they're absolutely convinced that what they're doing is totally the God thing and it's the right thing and it's going to get them where they need to go. And if I would ever insert anything into that, they would become so offended that they wouldn't connect. So most of the time, I just pull back, I pull way, way, way back and just encourage them wherever they are, hoping that at some point that they're going to allow the Spirit of God to speak to their heart. Like Paul, and meet him on the road to Damascus and saying, why are you kicking against the pricks? That is me that you are persecuting. Amen. You know, if Peter would have came up to Paul and said, hey, quit kicking against the pricks of God and quit persecuting Jesus, you know what Paul would have done? And there you are. I've been looking for you. Tie him up. God didn't send Peter. It was something that Jesus handled on his own. He interrupted Paul's journey. Sometimes we need to be open to the fact that I am not going to be able to tell you some things, and I'm okay with that, but I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will tell you some things. Amen. Amen. These Jews were lying in wait. So what was Paul's problem? Religious people. Amen. Anybody ever roam around? Man, the devil. If there's one thing I hear all the time, I'm just going to try to not move. If there's one thing I hear all the time, it's, man, the devil. You know what the devil did to me today. You know what the devil did to me this week. You know what the devil did to my family. You know what the devil did to my finances. You know what the devil did. You know what the devil did. And you'd make a great testifier at the Church of Satan. Praises. Never mind, I can't even finish it. The devil is oftentimes not the one doing stuff. Dennis just told you he's weaponless. Preached a whole sermon on it. Get it. I watched it. It's good. Wish I would have preached it. Beat me to it. One for you. I'll be back. Be back. It's not the devil doing it most of the time. Most of the time, it's our consent and cooperation with the plans and the purposes of the enemy through other people that is causing destruction and damage in our own lives. Amen. Amen. That was deep. Hope you're going to get all the recordings here are free, which means no cost, means no excuses. So you can get as many as you want. You go back to Ryan's head like every sermon this year, and you'll have it next week. And you'll need it. Amen. The people that were causing Paul tears and temptations and issues in his life were religious people that were getting in the way of his destiny. Religious people getting in the way of his destiny. Now think about that. Religious people getting in the way of his destiny. What is probably going to be the biggest problem in your destiny is religious people or religious thinking. Well, this is the way Grandma did it. Okay. And listen, we're supposed to honor the heritage of faith. I'm not saying that we don't take away from the heritage of faith. But there is an appropriate time for us to eat the meat and spit out the bones, is how I like to say it. The people that have gone before us, we need to take the best of what they did, the revelations that they had, the understandings that they made available to us, and we need to add them to the fact that we're not going to do that through their religion. We're going to do it through intimacy with the Lord. And when he decides to change a little something, and we say, no, that's not the way they did it at my other church. We're not your other church. Praise God. And if your other church is so good, what are you doing here? Sorry, that slipped out. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house. He held back nothing. I pray. Literally, I've been studying this all week, and this has been my prayer this week. That I get to the place. Something that a minister will have to deal with for, I'm not going to confess this, but I've dealt with it nearly my entire ministerial life. Something a minister deals with often is the fear of man. And what that means is, I don't want to say something to you that's going to offend you, and then you pull out of my life. There's already hundreds of them. I mean, it just does not feel good. It does not feel good for me to say something to someone in the hopes and the aspects that their life is going to get better and more wonderful. And then they get offended by what I said and I don't get to see them again. Maybe it's the fan. Or just turn off the sub.
Because your shirt looks kind of
funny. There you go. That helps. Because I was barely even moving then. Maybe it's just the power of God. I feel like I could bench press a demon right now. Amen. Been watching Carmen. Those of you that were here Friday night,
Brittany testified about something that happened to her, and while she was testifying, she was crying about the fact that she was crying in the thing that happened to her. And it was about a Carmen song. For those of you that are really old and been Christians for a long time, Carmen is awesome. And if you don't think Carmen is awesome, you need prayer. Pastor Ryan. Pray for Pastor Ryan. He doesn't think Carmen's awesome. I know. It's like he's not even born again. But he's obviously born again because he does all this. But just barely, probably. So, I digress. And how I kept back nothing. The fear of man is something that I deal with as a minister, and I'll guarantee that y'all deal with. If it wasn't for the fear of man, think how bold you would be. You'd see someone limping, and you'd jump out of your car. Hopefully you put it in park first. And you'd go lay hands on them, and you would totally expect there to be a powerful manifestation of God in that person's life. But because you're thinking about how weird it would look for you to jump out of your car, unless you're Craig, and go lay hands on someone, you don't do it. Or the first thought is, man, that person's limping. I should go lay hands on them. The next thought is, what if they don't get healed? You know what that is? Fear of man. That didn't come from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't say, what if they don't get healed? Amen? Anybody? Amen? Amen. That was your own head saying, you'll look like a fool. What if you go jerk that person out of their wheelchair and they fall on their face? Man, you're going to get laughed out of town. I went to a funeral one time for a person that I know and I love. And I was on the way to the funeral and I was praying in tongues fast and furious. I'm like, man, I'm going to raise this dude from the dead because he was too young to die. There's no reason for him to die. I'm going to raise him from the dead, make sure he's born again. Then if he wants to die then, he's good to go. But I was convinced that he wasn't born again. He's a friend of mine. I had passion. I had compassion going. I was praying in tongues. I was on the way. I go to the funeral. And my plans are. Amen. I feel like I shouldn't be telling this story right now. Like, just back away. So my plans are, I'm going to walk into the funeral home, and I'm going to bypass all the folks, and I'm going to walk right up to the casket. I'm going to jerk his scrawny butt out of the casket, and I'm going to shake the life back into him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was my plan. In my head, I seen it. I mean, I seen the glory cloud and angels and the Father showing up and, you know, Jesus kicking his tailbone up and life coming. I mean, I seen the whole thing. And I get out of my car and I walk up to the funeral home. And these are people that I know. This guy was my age and went to high school with him. And so I'm bypassing all these people. Hey, Steve. And we just got back from Texas. So those of you that remember then, I have long hair and a beard. People said I look like Jesus. And I'm walking in this funeral home, and I'm like, this guy. And while I was walking in, I said, Lord, the only reason I'm not going to go in there and make an absolute fool out of myself is if I know that I know that I know that he's born again. Because he was not born again as far as I knew. And man, I was beelining, and I was headed, and I was like, the heck with the consequences. I don't care what anybody says. And the devil the whole time. You haven't even barely started a church. You're going to go make a fool out of yourself. You're going to jerk a dead guy out of the casket. You're going to laugh you out of town. You're going to have to go start a church somewhere else because you're going to be such an idiot. And I said, shut up. Going in there, raise the dead. Go walking in there. And his mom was off to the right. And I was going to totally bypass her because if I'd looked at her, I'd have cried and it would have been stuff because her mom, she and I prayed on, I don't know, hundreds of occasions for this guy. Hundreds of times. She used to cut my hair. We would pray. She'd cut my hair. We would pray while she was cutting my hair about this guy getting his life sorted. And I walked in there. She's over there, and I'm like, I can't look at her. Because if she looks at me and I look at her, I'm going to be undone, and it ain't going to work. So I'm walking in, and I mean, it was awkward, because people were just like, hey, you're trying to shake my hand and stuff. I'm on a mission. Raise someone from the dead. And I go walk in, and she says, Steve. She says, Stevie. I'm telling the story right, so if you want to, you're going to get on my wrong side. Unless you're her.
or Mom, or Kay. Said, Stevie? I was like, oh, don't make me. And I was going to pretend like I didn't hear. I know that's not very Christian, but I was on a mission. Stevie! So I'd look over, I said, yes? He goes, come here. No. If you knew what I was going to do, you would not interrupt me. Come here. So I go over there and she hugs me. She's crying. Man, I'm crying. Dang it. It's hard to beat the devil when you're crying, unless you're Mahdi and you get scared. Hugging me and I'm hugging her. And she said, Steve, I got to tell you, 2 weeks ago, this guy, let's call him Bob. Bob came home and he walked in my house and he was crying and he said, Mom, I just met Jesus and I'm so sorry for all the years and all the things. And he was in all kinds of addictions and ruined his marriage. He was divorced and his kids hated him. It was just an absolute a testament to how wicked the devil is. And he came in and he said he met Jesus. He's been praying and everything's going good. And I'm like, oh, he's born again. Shoot. Because, I mean, I didn't know a whole lot of folks in the region. So the way I was at with this whole fear of man thing was, you know, I only know the people I used to go to high school because I was in Texas 15 years. I didn't know, you know, almost all y'all. I didn't know y'all. So, you know, you can make a fool out of yourself if you're some goofball from Texas because everybody thinks you're weird anyway. Because, you know. So I'm like, man, I've got the passion. I've got everything. I'm ready to go. And then she says, born again. And so I walk up to the casket after we cry and snot all over each other. And I walk up to the casket and I'm like, Lord, I mean, I don't have any problem. I'll still do it. But here's the thing. I know that if I raise him from the dead right now, he's going to have to fight through all that stuff. Failed marriage and wrecked lives and addictions and all that kind of stuff. He's had to pick up all them pieces. And the thing is, he's been with Jesus for like 3 days now. I mean, if you put that on the scale, like, what are you going to do? You want to come back from being with Jesus after 3 days? Or, you know, you want to just stay up there? Amen. Well, most people are going to, especially if you've got to come back and fight through all that. Fix relationships, get through an addiction, sort all those things out, and move on. Amen. I didn't want to raise him from the dead to come back and fight a fight. I mean, he won. The devil lost. I mean, think about that. Had him his whole life, and then 2 weeks right before. Jim just testified to me that that there was another person we were just talking about that literally his entire life, complete God, I don't know, I want to say God hater, but anti-God. All his life, gets born again on a, what day was it? Gets born again, 2 weeks later, dead. So Jim was like, it was like the clock was like, tick, 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 born again, dong. Like, ha! Don't you know the devil was like, 80 years I was working on that guy. Dang it! And Jesus is like, ha! That's how I roll. Listen, if you get this, you think that if there's some things in your life that you're thinking like the devil's sitting there thinking, yeah, that's right, I own it. Don't you know Jesus is like, hey, watch this. Yeah. Anybody ready for a little yeah? Yeah. Purpose. Purpose gets you there. Destiny gets you there. Amen. I want to be in a place, especially with you, because I love you. I want to be in a place with you where I can not hold back, keep nothing back. I can just say it, and you can hear it from my heart, not filter it through some hurt from past hurt, not filter it through what's he really trying to say, what's he really mean. But if I really mean it, I'm going to really just say it if you give me permission. But for the most part, I just don't have that permission with people because, like, if you say this, I'm out of here. But if you say this, I'm okay. So here's what I'll do. I'll just basically take it up to wherever I know that you're okay. And I know that what you're probably going to think, well, you're going to come up after the service and say, hey, you can tell me anything. Please don't. Don't say that to me.
So that's dangerous territory. Amen. Because then I say anything, and you're like, whoa, anything but that. Now you've already said it, so you're a jerkhead. The evil one, it says in Mark chapter 4, Matthew chapter 13, that the evil one comes immediately after the word was sown to steal it away, and the way that he steals it away is with offense. So let me give you a clue into how the kingdom of God works. If there's anything that you find yourself offended about, that's the devil trying to steal something good from you. Ever. If you ever find, well, they deserve it, or they did this, or that. If you ever find yourself in any offense, ever, it is the enemy trying to steal something that Jesus gave you. Ever. Now that you know, you can just throw up that red flag. Man, that person said that thing and I'm so offended. I think I will not get offended and go ahead and receive the 30, 60, and 100-fold that Jesus has for me. Hey! Wouldn't that be awesome? Amen? All right. I want to be to the point where I can just say it, like Paul, and hold nothing back. And how I kept nothing back from you that was profitable, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. This verse is why we started the Grace for Groups. For those of you that don't know, Acts chapter 2, verse 46, I think it is, and verse 26. 42. Thank you, Greg. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and Acts chapter 20, verse 20, is why we started Grace Groups. Both of those verses say that the way the kingdom of God is done is publicly, welcome to the public gathering, and privately from house to house. Grace Groups. Which means, if you're going to do church, I'll just look at nobody. Which means, if you're going to do church, based upon the Acts model of church, which is where it was invented from, you are going to do it publicly, and you're also going to do it from house to house. So, someone said last week, if you're not in a grace group, you need to be in one. Testifying both, verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. That word testifying is martyrio, and I'm going to get back to that. Verse 23, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Let me say something about destiny here real quick on this verse. If you think you're going to get it all figured out because you're in the middle of your destiny and everything's going to be all lined up like ducks in a row. Anybody ever gone hunting and seen the ducks in a row? They just don't line up that way. It's not even hunting. It's like going to the fair. That's not how it works. Paul, there's very few people that you can find in the scriptures that are more destiny, more purpose oriented than the Apostle Paul. And he's like, I don't know what's going to happen. This is a good place to be, y'all. You know what that means? You're just going to have to trust that the Holy Spirit, that when you get there, He's got power and grace for you there. Which means that you can actually go in there boldly. You can walk into the places of your life, into the callings of their life, into the unctions of the Spirit, into the leadings of God. You can walk in there and you can be super bold about it, because when you show up and some situation comes, you're going to say, aha, I have grace for this because God led me here. But you know what most people do when they get there and then something goes boom. You're like, oh, this must be the wrong way, because if this was the God way, there would be no problems, no issues, no... Right? I mean, if you were walking perfectly lockstep with God, there would never be a problem, never be an issue, never be a confrontation, never be anything for you to fight, right? I mean, it would just be like walking on clouds and rainbows and flowers and butterflies and Jesus every day, angels singing, you'd be in a glory cloud, you'd just be walking around like the anti-Linus, and everything would be perfect and wonderful and cool all day long, and everybody would just come up to you and say, you're just the greatest person ever. Because that's what they did to Jesus. You know, based upon how most people read the Bible. Like Jesus, he just was born in a manger, and people were like, oh, he's so cute. Never pooped a diaper. Never did anything human whatsoever. Never sweat a drop. You know, never had to deal with any kind of conflict. Ever. No, everybody loved him.
all the way up until they killed him. Tried to a couple of times. But everybody else loved him. Oh yeah, until like John chapter 6, where every single disciple left him except for the 12. And then he said, are you going to leave too? And where would we go? In other words, they thought about it. Amen. We need to stop with this pristine view of what destiny looks like. Destiny looks like, hey, you know what? There's some things to do. There's some mountains to take. There's some giants to kill. There's some crosses to accomplish. There are some hills to climb. There are some demons to kick tail. There are some sicknesses to cast out. There are some issues to deal with. But you've got the grace for it. Amen. You don't have to do it in your strength. You get to say, man, this looks really hard. Hey, Jesus, this one's yours. Amen. And he shows up. He does his Jesus thing. Lord, awesome. So now which way? That way? All right. Amen. That's destiny. Save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying unto me that bonds and afflictions abide. Amen. How would you like to be going about your destiny? And the Holy Spirit says, hey, so next week, you're going to get arrested and really badly treated. You know what you'd say? Get thee behind me, Satan. You know what Paul said? Well, I got to go there. The Holy Spirit did not come to make you comfortable. He came to comfort you. Amen. If you're comfortable right now, I would encourage you to go ahead and get a little more intimate with the Holy Spirit, because he's going to take you into some uncomfortable places and comfort you in the uncomfortable places. Don't you know Jesus wasn't on the cross going, whew, this feels so awesome. Man, the goosebumps are like duck bumps. They're just so huge. Verse 24, this is actually where I want to preach. But none of these things move me. None of what things? None of the persecutions, the afflictions, not knowing what's going to happen when he gets to where he's called to get to. Not knowing who's going to be there. Not knowing if there's going to be Jews lying in wait for him. Not knowing if people are going to reject him. Not knowing what kind of afflictions he's going to deal with. Not knowing what kind of persecution. Am I going to be arrested? Am I going to be... Not knowing anything that's going to happen. He just knows where he's supposed to go. And he says, but none of these things move me. This is so incredible to me. These things don't... This is pretty much only things that move most Christians. Well, I don't have enough money to do that, so therefore God must say, I'm not supposed to do that. No! If you've got a desire in your heart to do that and you don't have the money, that's God saying, hey, exercise the promises that I've given you to do that. I'm the one that put that in your heart. Well, I've been praying for my kids to get born again for years and they're not getting born again. I guess God just wants them to go to hell. You know, there's entire denominations that believe that. Entire denominations that believe that God wants some people to go to heaven and some people go to hell. I can show you 6 scriptures off the top of my head that is disproved by the Word of God, but there's still denominations that believe it, and it's the foundation of their belief. Why? Because we're moved by experiences, we're moved by what we see and what we feel, and we're not moved by the promises of God and the direction of the Holy Spirit. If we were moved by God, then we wouldn't be moved by external circumstances. Let me say it this way. If you're moved by God from the inside, you'll never be moved by anything from the outside. Amen. That is such a powerful truth. We need to be led of the Spirit, not pushed by the world. We are His sheep. We hear His voice. You are His sheep. You might not feel like it. You might say, I've never heard him. That is not true. You are his sheep. I don't care what you feel like. And you do hear his voice. And I don't care what you say. He said, my sheep will hear my voice. And my Savior is not a liar. Amen. Not a liar. He's speaking. You just need to tune the frequency. Right now in this room, there's radio waves. Right now. Actually, dozens of them. Right now in this room, there's rock and roll, there's rap, there's country, too much of it, there's gospel in this room right now. But because none of you are tuned into it, you're not hearing it. You're hearing this, which is a little country and rock and roll together. If you tune, if your tuner was to tune just a little bit different, you would hear those other voices. But you're tuned to this voice right now. It's the same thing for God. If you're not hearing God's voice, it's not because He's not speaking. Amen. It's because you just need to tune a little bit. Amen. This is how you tune. This is what it sounds like. This is what His voice sounds like. I was not moved by those things. But none of these things move me. In the Greek, that none is an absolute. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. That word count is logou. I don't know how to say it in the Greek because I'm not Greek. But it's L-O-G-O-U, which is where we get the word logo, logos, which is the word, the written word of God. And it also is the word that we get in our English, the word logic. Well, that's logical, right? That's what Spock used to say all the time. What is logic? Logic is the right way to think about a situation. So logos is God's right way of thinking about something that He wrote down for us. Would you like to know what God's opinion is on some certain matters? He wrote it down. This is God's logic right here. You know what God's logic is? If you're sick, call for the elders of the church. They'll lay hands on you and you will be healed. God's logic. World's logic, if you're sick, go to a doctor. I'm going to be okay with this. Go to a doctor who learned from another guy, neither of the which have ever met Jesus, and they're going to give you a drug that's going to most likely mask the symptoms so you think that you're healed. God's logic is healing. That's God's logic. This word is, I don't use any logic that makes my life dear unto myself. This word life in here in the Greek is psuche, which is where you and I get the word for the soul. So He's saying, I don't look at my soul, my personality, my will. Your soul is comprised of your mind, your way of thinking, your will, your way of doing things, and your emotions, the way that you feel. That is what your soul is comprised of. You put all those things together and that ends up being the word in the Bible for life. The word for soul and the word for life in the New Testament is the same word, psuche. The word for abundant life that Jesus came to give us is zoe, which is the God kind of soul. But the world's kind of soul is you and your natural mind, your natural will, and your natural emotions. And He said, I don't let those things, I do not logically look at my mind, my will, and my emotions, and I make decisions about where I go and what I do. Now, this is incredible. In other words, the mind of Christ is where He got His logic. The leading of the Spirit is where He got His directions. And the joy of the Lord is where He got His feelings from. The Prince of Peace, the joy of the Lord, the fruit of the Spirit, that's where His feelings came from. His logic came from the Word. And His decisions came from the leading of the Spirit. This is so important. This is one of my life verses. This is one of my main life verses. I read this, I cannot tell you how many times I read this verse. Because I do not want to be led by anything but Him. I don't want to feel things that are not Him. I don't want to experience things that are not Him. Destiny has five truths to it. The first truth is having an unshakable resolve. I do not let any of these things move me. Unshakable resolve. I am going down there and I'm going to tell that 10-foot giant about my God that I have a covenant with, and he will die and the birds will eat his flesh. You're a crazy little 17-year-old kid and you need to go back and watch the sheep. Excuse me while I go down there and slay a giant. Unshakable resolve. I don't let any of these things move me. Number two, proper assessment of your soul. Most of us can't make these kind of decisions the way Paul made them is because we don't properly assess the positions of our soul. We are so led by our own will. We are so led by our own emotions. We are so led by our own personality. Well, I'm just a type A personality. This is just how I have to be. Really? So God made you a jerk. No, I said type A. Yeah, well, you say type A, I say jerk. Potato, potato. You don't have to be a jerk. Jesus wasn't a jerk, and he still accomplished things. Paul wasn't a jerk, still accomplished things. Peter wasn't a jerk. Can we go on? If there's things in your personality that's getting in the way of you accomplishing your destiny, that means that your personality just needs a little bit of an extreme home makeover and you're good to go. So proper assessment of your soul is the number two important thing for you to have the destiny that is going to lead you to a fulfilled purpose. Number three, it is not over until it's over.
Amen.
I want you to say that. It's not over till it's over. It's not over till it's over. Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first letter. He's the last letter. In Revelations, he shows up and he says, I'm the first and the last. So if it ain't Jesus in glory and your testimony is talking about his goodness and his grace, then you ain't to the last yet, beloved. It ain't over till it's over. So that I might finish my course with joy. It ain't over till it's over. I finish my course. If you're 27 and you die, not God's will. I know you're probably thinking, well, that's way too bold. You don't know the situation. You don't know. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Sir, you need to get Psalm 91. I want you to write it down in your own handwriting on a 3x5 card. I want you to carry it everywhere you go while you're deployed. Psalm 91. You read it every day. You're going to be protected, sir. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Long life is not 27. I'm not lambasting somebody because they died early, okay? I get it. There's a lot of things going on in this world. God's will is long life will I satisfy them. Long life. How long? Until you say long enough. Amen. Some of you might be sooner than others. For me, I'm going to be 120. My eyesight not dim. My natural force is not abated because I am not going to let Moses outdo me. He had a worse covenant. I got a better covenant. Amen. So if he could do it to 120, I'm going to 120. Amen. Again. I'm not going to let anybody beat me because I'm a competitive kind of guy. I'll even take on Moses. That's right. Amen. Amen. Y'all with me on that? So number three is, it ain't over till it's over. Number four, there is a specific career you have been designed for. And I use the word career because the Greek word for course is actually career. It is career, race, or course of life. Which means if you're running on my track, you showed up to the wrong track meet. You have a track. You were diversely created for your track. And if you're running on my track, this is why 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, do not compare yourselves among yourselves or judge yourselves by yourselves, because in so doing, you are not wise. It is not wise for me to say, well, Gary's here, so I should be here. He's on a different track. His track might be 10 miles long. My track might be 10 meters long. I'm supposed to go real fast in circles. He's supposed to take a long jog. If you take a cross-country runner and you put him in a 100-meter dash, you might as well give the gold to somebody else. I'm not called to run your race, you're not called to run my race, but you are called to run a race. Doesn't mean you get to get out of the track meet. Amen. You're running a race. Amen. You might be walking right now, but I'm here to give you a good, swift, loving pat on the tushy. And we're going to run. Amen. Isn't it great when you're out there, you're out of breath, and anybody ever ran track? You're out there and you're out of breath, and one of your buddies comes by and says, hey, come on, let's go. Oh, yeah, that's right, we're running. Amen? Mike didn't even act stupid on that. Number four, there's a specific career that you're designed for. That is that finished course. You're not allowed to go until you're finished. I will raise you from the dead until you finish your course. Amen. You better, and I'm being for real, I'm not even joking, if you do not want me to raise you from the dead because you die early, you need to turn in to our office a do not resuscitate order to the pastor. Because I will show up wherever you die, and I will jerk your sorry butt out of the casket, and you will come back to life. So if you don't want that, turn the note in.
Amen.
Amen. I've already had to argue with Jim on this. I will jerk your butt up. And me and you are both going to look like a fool because you're going to be like, I didn't want to come back. Well, you should have told me. Amen. So you need to turn that in. You need to finish the course. And my job is to here to empower you and to walk alongside of you and to make sure that you get to the end. I'm the coach. Right? And God gave gifts unto the church, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor and teacher, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, until we all come into the knowledge of the faith. That's my job. And until you get to the full knowledge of the faith, then that means I got work to do. So if you die on me, number five, part to destiny. You're going to have to get a copy of this. It will require you to testify. Well, I just can't talk in public. Okay, if you're born again, that means the Spirit of God lives in you. Does anybody know what the Spirit of God is? It's the Word. The Word lives in you. Well, I just can't talk in front of people. The Word talks. Well, I just can't testify in front of people. Okay, so your fear of men is getting... Didn't we cover that like way up a long time ago? Testify. This word for testify is the word dimartyr something. You can look it up. But it means that I give solemn evidence. I testify. I give evidence in my life. Hey, you should meet Jesus. Why? Because he's really awesome. How do you know? Oh, Pastor Steve told me. Right? That'll really impact somebody's life. Oh, okay. Pastor Steve, who's that? Who'd give a rip about that guy? Hey, you should know Jesus the way I know Jesus. Why? Oh my Lord, how much time you got? He's healed my body. He's cleansed my mind. He's got me out of addictions. He did this. He did this. He did this. He did this. Okay. How do I meet him? Well, just sit down. Me and you. Amen. This is testifying. You know, diamartyr, whatever that word is, I can't say. The middle part of that word is martyrio. You know where that word comes from? It's where you and I get the English word martyr. Martyr. You remember what that word means? It means dying for your faith. Dying for your faith. You were martyred for your faith. Part of your testimony is willing to die to yourself, to your own will, to your own passions, willing to die in order for someone else to hear the truth about what Jesus Christ wants to do in their life. That's what a testimony is. You are going to die if you don't get it out, and you're going to die to get it out. That's a real testimony. Amen. Amen. I got to be done. So I'm just going to quote this to you. This is maybe the only time. You guys listen up. This is going to be a miraculous moment. I'm going to quote to you out of the nearly inspired version of the Bible. It was just the best one. I mean, even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. These are wise words. This is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27 in the NIV, and then I'm done. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way that you get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. This is why it's okay for me to be so competitive. It's biblical. For all of you that are all like, we're competitive, it's biblical. I'm going to quote this verse. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Amen. You know, Jesus is keeping track. Amen. Didn't that bless you? Amen. You know, when the whole world says, yeah, guy ain't doing nothing, and Jesus is saying, you just go right on, son. Amen. He's the one keeping track. Jesus is keeping score anyway. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and I make it into a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I'm not going to let this get in the way of that prize. I'm not going to let this get in the way. I'm not going to let this get in the way. I'm not going to let this get in the way. We are going to go. We are going to get the prize. I don't care what the problems are in our region. I don't care about the destituteness of the church in our region. I don't care about the economics in the region. I don't care about the sickness and the disease that's running rampant in the region. I don't care about any of those things. None of those things move me because we are going to go together. We're going to run our race. We're going to finish our course. We're going to get the prize, and we've got laid up for us a crown of glory that lasts forever. That's what we're going to do. We're going to be people of purpose. We're going to live with purpose. And we're going to have the destiny that has been promised to each of us. Amen? Amen. Stand up. Let me pronounce a blessing over you. Man, I hate to even close this series. So much we could talk about purpose, but there's other things we're going to do. The staff is super excited about the next series that we're going to get into. I'm excited too. All right, so I want you to hold out your heart by holding out your hands. This is your faith. This is your substance of things that you're hoping for. This is your action in accordance to your will and your desires. I want you to hear this. Beloved, you who are greatly loved of God. Psst, that's everybody. I pray above all things that you prosper and you are in good health, even as your soul, your psuche, is experiencing prosperity. Now, if you receive that, I want you to close your hands and say, it's mine.
It's mine.
It's mine. Amen.